Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and oh boy, we have a special present for your ear holes today. It's Jonders. How are you, buddy? It has been far too long.
It has been too long. We've had some scheduling conflicts. I've been trying to get you on my show. You've been trying to get me on your show, but I'm happy to be here. It's great being here, Eric. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, I just want to say, did you get a new mic? Because you sound extra crisp today.
I've been rocking this mic for maybe a year and a half now.
Ooh, well, I don't know, Jonders. It's just like, it's completely new. Sometimes you're not as crisp as today. It's not ever bad, but you're just extra crisp today. It's a good day. So how's life going for you, Jonders? It's been a little while since we checked in. How's comedy writing going? How's football watching going?
Level 3 improv class now, and at the IO Theater where I take these classes, they've given me my own podcast. So yeah, I like to think of it like the Nintendo Power podcast, but for comedy. So it is kind of the hand.
What is the Nintendo Power podcast for all our non-nerd listeners?
It used to be a magazine, but it was published by Nintendo. So it's like it's kind of like a long advertisement that you're buying. So it tells you all about the Nintendo games, the reviews, what's coming in the future for Nintendo. So that's what this podcast is for the IO, where it's going to tell you about all the shows. It's going to review the shows. It's going to tell you everything you need to know about future shows. So it's going to be everything you want to know about Chicago's IO Theater all in one spot.
Ooh. Yeah. I like it. That's sounds like a good time. You put up your first episode on the Jonders FPT tag, and I mistakenly thought that's the way it was going to be forever. So I told you I had subscribed and very quickly learned that it does not exist.
Apple hasn't approved it yet, but we're hoping that happens soon. Also, I realized that a better analogy probably would have been like the Around the NFL is for the NFL. That probably would have worked better on this podcast. Yeah,
probably. But hey, you know, I like knowing about the nerd shit, bro. It's always fun hearing about the life of the nerds. Guess what? I started doing something kind of nerdy myself. I started playing Red Dead Redemption 2.
I don't think that's very nerdy. Having fun on that. I think that's very I don't know. I don't think you're getting any nerd points from me on that one.
Oh, yikes. So am I appropriating nerd culture?
No, I think it's a very bro-ish video game to play, in my opinion. There's nothing wrong with that. I just don't think it's very nerdy.
Oh, okay. All right. So we'd never catch Jonders just out here in Valentine, you know, being an outlaw.
No, I don't think so.
No, not really. So what's the difference between the new Super... I don't know why I want to talk about this so much, but what's the difference between the old Super Smash Bros. Game, which I've had tons of fun with it over my childhood, playing on the Wii with my brothers and just, like, having fun with, like, the Meta Knight dude or whatever. He's probably my favorite player. But, like... Well, how is this any different than the game before?
So this one has all the characters from all the previous games and more. So you have a roster of 75 characters, which is just absolutely ridiculous. That's such a large roster for a video game. It has a new story mode, and it has, I don't know, it has a ton of new content. So it's kind of like if you were to ask, you know, there's a lot more being updated than like a Madden year-to-year or a FIFA year-to-year. But it, you know, there are slight improvements to the fighting, but it's mostly you get the new characters and the new story mode.
Yeah. Awesome. How invested in the story mode?
Oh, I already cranked through it. It took me about 17 hours to get through the story mode. It was awesome. There's actually an awesome, if anybody's interested, there's a really cool game theory video out there about the, like, the hidden message behind the story mode. It's really cool. I suggest everybody check it out. Game theory, the real meaning behind the Super Smash Brothers. If you type in game theory Super Smash Brothers, it'll come up. It's a great video.
All right. Well, I would highly encourage everyone to go check that out as well, because maybe I will, because I did not know, for one, that video games had deeper meaning.
You'll learn a lot about like how much content and how much, like, I think you'll find it interesting, even though you won't exactly know what's going on 100%.
Yeah. It does sound of some interest to me. Of more interest to me, though, is the NFL. Wow, what a smooth segue. I'll take a round of applause. But anyways, it was a wild and crazy week, Jaunders. And part of the reason I brought Jaunders on is because, unlike me, Jaunders is currently not in the midst of, like, 8 finals, and I have not watched, like, I've watched, like, 5 of these, like, 16 games, so I want to bring you in, Jaunders, because I know you, no one grinds tape harder than Jaunders, and I need your expertise and your takes today, man.
I'm here to give you all the takes that you need.
All right, well, that's fantastic. Let's get right into it. Let's start with briefly the Jets and the Bills. I actually did watch this game. I don't think it's a hot take, but I honestly thought Josh Allen performed a lot better in this game, even though he had the 2 interceptions, than Sam Darnold. And I've liked Josh Allen a ton more than Sam Darnold this year. What are your thoughts on Josh Allen? I don't think you were super high on him going into the draft, but has your opinion of Josh?
I don't think I really had an opinion on him going into the draft, but through preseason, all my notes about him were about how he has a hose and how he is the strongest arm of this rookie class, and how if you surround him with the right people, you know, and he could develop. That I look forward to watching his career blossom. Sam Darnold, you really haven't heard anybody talk about the Saquon Barkley should have been. Or, you know, the Giants should have taken Darnold instead of Barkley for the last few weeks, because we're watching Barkley explode in the NFL and really become a legit number one, you know, primetime, you know, Pro Bowl player. And Sam Darnold, although he's been injured and he's been in and out of the games, we really haven't seen anything tangible that we would like to see him build on through the course of a couple games. I note now on every podcast appearance I make that Jamal Adams is really good at safety, because somebody on Twitter got mad at me for saying the Bears have the best safeties in the league. But Jamal Adams is good. So also, I want to get your opinion on this. It seems like LeSean McCoy at one point was kind of on the road to the Hall of Fame, but that got derailed a couple years ago, and now I don't think he's going to get in. What do you think?
Ooh, that's a broad career question to ask. And I don't know. I feel like he had so many good years that, I don't know, that's an interesting debate to have, because how do you weigh good years and bad years? Because I'd say he's only had, like, 2 bad years. Would you agree? Like, I don't know. I think that's kind of unfair to say, because that's like saying Peyton Manning, his last 2 years were awful, but then that just kind of discredits the other 16 years.
Our friend Chris Wessling has said that the first half of Tom Brady's career and the second half of Tom Brady's career would both make the Hall of Fame, and I agree with that. And Peyton Manning doesn't make the Hall of Fame based on his last year, even though he won the Super Bowl. He makes it on the first 15. So it's about, like, reaching a percentage, and I don't think he ever reached that percentage. I think he needed, like, just to push over the edge. Like, Frank Gore right now is definitely, like, just inching across that, you know, that Hall of Fame line. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't think LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, Frank Gore.
I love
still
Frank Gore.
Beast,
I love watching.
By the way.
Yeah, shout out to Frank FG. Gore. But I feel like he's like maybe like a half mile shy of that line, and he just needed that extra push at the end of his career, and he's not going to get it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I missed most of the start of LeSean McCoy's career. I've only been watching the second half of it since I became really invested in the sport of football in like 2013. So I couldn't give you an accurate depiction, but like, I think he's a Hall of Famer, but who knows? Maybe his last 2 years are. I think he retires after this year for sure, but he is definitely kind of.
But I don't think bad years neg you. I just don't think they help your case. So I feel like his good years aren't good enough to get into the Hall of Fame, because if we're gonna list backs, we're gonna say Adrian Peterson and Marshawn Lynch should be his peers that make it to the Hall of Fame, and then does McCoy fit into that too? I don't think he's as good as those two players.
Yeah, his I'm looking at his career numbers right now, and like, I don't really know. Like, 10,000 yards is okay, but
So at the beginning of his career, it's Adrian Peterson and Marshawn Lynch, and now it's like Lev Bell, Todd Gurley, and I'm sure we can name, you know, other players that we think will have better careers than McCoy had.
Yeah, there's a great Ezekiel one. Elliott, yep, another Christian great one. McCaffrey. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that LeSean McCoy probably isn't jumping into the Hall of Fame. The thing I found really interesting, and I have sort of fallen in love with this Bills team for some reason over the past 3 weeks, because after they cut Kelvin Benjamin, they started finding like decent receivers. Like, I don't know. I think Robert Foster is legit. I don't know what you think about him, but he's had like three back-to-back really good games at this point.
Reuben Foster? Robin Foster?
Robert Foster.
He's off my radar.
He's a receiver for the Buffalo Bills. Well, he needs to get on your radar because he's had, I want to say he's had three straight 100-yard receiving games.
Yeah, I'll definitely check him out. I haven't watched this. I've watched it on Red Zone, but I haven't grinded the tape on this one yet. But the reason why I haven't watched this game yet mostly is because the Bills are last in the league at point differential at 119. So they kind of make it to the bottom of the game pass circulation.
Hey, I mean, that's fair, but I'll just point out, here are his last five games. 105 yards, 94 yards, one bad game against the Dolphins, 27 yards, 104 yards.
When are these yards coming, though? I mean, are these Blake Bortles, like, 2014 stats where it's coming at the end of games, or are these actually, like, happening?
Nah, Josh Allen actually makes things happen. It's amazing to me how good he is with his legs. I'm still really impressed by that because I look at Josh Allen and I'm like, that guy can't run. And then, oh boy, that guy can run. But I don't know. I feel like Robert Foster has really come on the last few weeks. And it hasn't been all in garbage time. But yes, some of it has. I remember distinctly that the Jags game, a lot of it, kind of came in.
Yeah, I'll recheck it out. I'll look him up. I'm always willing to learn more and learn about new players.
I'm slightly interested by this Buffalo Bills team going into next year because I feel like they're like two good wide receivers away from being semi decent. So that's all we got on that game, I think. Moving on to other games. Man, I can't believe we just spent like 10 minutes talking about the Jets and the Bills. All right. The Panthers and the Browns. Ooh, tell me how much you love Baker Mayfield. Because
you know what I loved
Baker
about this
Mayfield.
Game is that after last week, Baker Mayfield had that pretty bad game, probably the worst game of his career, his young career, against the Texans last week. And then right out of the gate, he throws that 60-yard bomb. He's and like he really doesn't have that many pass attempts in this game, but he makes them all count. He throws down the field to Jarvis Landry. I think that was another like 60-yard touchdown pass. So you know, it's good to show resilience. And after a bad game, you know, J.J. Watt has that dig about, oh, he must not have been feeling dangerous today, you know, to get back up and show the league what you're about. I mean, I love his attitude. I can't remember the last time a Cleveland Brown quarterback had, like, swag, I guess is the best word to call it, but I'm here for it. I'm here for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield's a ton of fun. I saw some stuff on Twitter too about his footwork that I'm just gonna also second and say I don't know a ton about footwork, but people like his footwork, so keep an eye on his footwork because Baker Mayfield's got some good footwork. On the other side of this game, Cam Newton doesn't look right, but I think the Panthers, I kind of want to do a post-mortem on them because, I don't know, is it fair to say they're done? Because I feel like they're done.
And like, tell me if I'm being biased, but I feel like the Seahawks have kind of taken a soul out of a few teams this season. And, you know, we're always going back and say, well, how much should these wins count? Because after that, they lost two in a row. And I think it's a bad scene when Taylor Heinicke is coming in for end-of-half Hail Mary attempts. We talked about McCaffrey. Yeah. I really think that he is a super bright future in the NFL. His burst and his quickness is almost unparalleled in the NFL today. But I hope that they keep Riverboat Ron. I love Ron Rivera. I actually shook his hand in Indy this year. Nice guy. But that's beside the point. The point is like, yeah, But the point is, like, this is what I always used to say about Jay Cutler. You know, everybody here in Chicago wants to get rid of him, and I would say, yeah, but what's your better option? And they would never say anything. So, you know, if you want to get rid of Ron Rivera, what's your better option?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point to have. I feel like there are a lot of coaches like that, like Dan Quinn, Mike Zimmer is suddenly being talked about as someone on the hot seat, and it's like, these are guys that are actually good at their jobs. Maybe don't fire them. And then, speaking of coaches that are good at their jobs, one who is not is Hugh Jackson. And I have the most interesting Browns stat to me is that through five games, they have more wins than Hugh Jackson have through 40 games, which is insane to me. Just insane to me. I still can't believe how long that man had employment.
I think the worst thing they can do is hire Greg Williams as the regular everyday coach. John DeFilippo just got fired from the Vikings. I'm not sure what that's completely about. I think that was a philosophy, conflict where Zimmer wants to run the ball more than John DeFilippo. But I think John DeFilippo has to be in your short list for Browns coaches next year, don't you think?
I like Freddie Kitchens, man.
The offense has come alive, really.
I feel
really.
Like if mm-hmm. he's making it work, yeah, if he's making it work with Mayfield, maybe you just
this
keep
is why,
Freddie
this
Kitchens.
Is, this is why I don't like, I want like Kitchens to be the head coach is because I'm already sick of the Kitchens-Baker memes. So I could do without Kitchen and Baker Mayfield being together forever.
Well,
the Baker. Okay. Baker is cooking up in the kitchen. The offense, I don't know.
I don't know, Jonders. It seems like a pretty good bit to me, but okay. anything else on this game?
Jarvis Landry, Ryan McGinley pointed this out on the Climb the Pocket show, which is on Forward Pass Thinking audio contents feed, that Jarvis Landry can catch the ball downfield, and I'm not sure why they only use him as like within a 5 yards of the line of scrimmage type guy. So, I just love seeing Jarvis Landry going out deep and catching a ball.
Yeah. Always a good time to see Landry ball out. He's definitely come on more here at the second half of the season. And the offense is suddenly alive. And then you think, I don't know. I was playing with like these NFL like playoff simulators that I sometimes mm-hmm. have a fun time playing with. And it's not crazy things don't have to happen for the Browns to make the playoffs. That's kind of insane.
Yeah, it seems
to think
like they almost control their own destiny, even though I hate that phrase. Like, if they win out, but they have some tough games coming up, right?
Yeah. Not really anymore. Denver doesn't look nearly as intimidating as they did about 2 weeks ago. And then you have the Ravens, which I think. The Browns could beat the Ravens, and I forget
who is that Ravens Browns game on like Saturday.
This Saturday it's Broncos Browns.
I knew one of those games was in prime time, and I wanted it to be the Ravens game because I would. No offense to you and your Broncos, but I'd rather watch that Ravens Browns game.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. The Broncos are now terrible. Once again, well, they were. I don't know if they were ever good to begin with, or maybe I was just.
Man, Emmanuel Sanders.
But,
if you want to get into that game right now with the 49ers, man.
Yeah, let's just touch on it really quick. It was really embarrassing, and I don't really want to talk about it for a while because they did zero things on offense and just were like, "Hey, let's not play against the Niners and see if that works," and it clearly didn't. The defense was good, got a lot of pressure on Nick Mullins, but. The offense could not move a ball against a Niners defense that has been pretty terrible all year. So,
I don't want to be a prisoner. I don't want to be a prisoner in the moment, but I do want to assess what's happening in real time. I feel like that's how I've gotten my most success doing this thing. So, George Kittle, I think right mm-hmm. now is the most talented tight end in the league. So, people want to argue with me about Gronk or Kelsey.
Yeah. No
that's
doubt.
Fine. I'll listen to those debates. But right now, Kittle is number three on Pro Football Focus behind Kelsey and Howard. But gun to my head, I'm taking Kittle, and I'm rolling, baby.
I think I'd roll with Kelsey, to be honest with you. But maybe that's a product
of
the quarterback.
Yeah, because Nick Mullins and Patrick Mahomes is a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah, you make a fair point there. Yeah, maybe you're right. Kittle definitely doesn't get enough love just because the Niners have somehow become like a small market team.
And this year was just a throwaway year. They weren't playing well before Jimmy G got hurt, and they completely just threw in the towel afterward. And the only player really playing, in my opinion, playing well on that defense is Richard Sherman at this point, who is kind of underrated having a good year, in my opinion. But that offense is really Kittle and Kittle alone at this point.
Yeah, so on the Broncos side of things, I don't know. I hope Vance Joseph, I hope they make a choice on Vance Joseph before the season ends. So if they do want to move on, they kind of have an advantage in scouting the next guy. But I don't know. I feel like he might actually keep his job.
Well, ownership is kind of shaky, right? So the Bolins still own the team, and they're kind of in transition of seeing who's taking over day-to-day operations. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, no, it's really confusing. Like, one of the Bolin brothers, like, his name is the trust guy on the team. But the other, I think one of the Bolin sisters is, like, in a legal battle right now trying to get
the reason I bring that up, yeah, but the reason I bring that up is because, you know, John Elway's hired how many coaches in his tenure there? And if he can't get the right guy, you know, it looks bad upon him at some point, and he can't get the quarterback in there after the, you know, the alley-oop or, the, you know, the free pass of getting Peyton Manning. Nick Chubb looks great, and he, you know, he just broke Von Miller's single-season rookie sack record for the Broncos, but I don't think John Elway has been as good of a general manager as we all made him out to be in, like, what, 2015 or whatever. So I think there's a lot up in the air in Denver, and I think John Elway needs to, you know, tread lightly on his on this decision, because if he fires Vance Joseph and the next guy doesn't do well, then I think he's shown the door next. I don't think that ends well.
I think you underestimate how much power John Elway has.
But that's how much power he has now. You know, we don't know what ownership's going to be like in 3 years.
I still don't know. The Bolins treat Elway like their son. Like, he might be there. He might be there till they die. And if I had to put money on it, I think that he's the next owner of the Denver Broncos. Honestly,
I can't see him as like a Jerry Jones type figure and annoying me for the rest of my life.
I think he could honestly get that way, really quickly. Which scares me, because John Elway has not done a great job at evaluating, you know, the most important positions on the field. Although, credit to him, pretty good draft class.
Hey, I feel like you got mad at me a couple weeks ago when I was saying that I don't think Case Keenum will win you games and he's as good as the parts surrounding him. How do you feel about that now?
Well, I mean, I'm always a big respect Case Keenum guy, Jonders, and I get very caught up in the moment of what Case Keenum is doing. I am just ignore anything I ever say about all Case right. Keenum, basically. I get too emotional. He and Blake Bortles. Like, I've retired from making Blake Bortles takes, because whenever I think that people are crapping on him too much and I try to defend him a little, he looks really bad. And whenever I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to join this bashing Blake Bortles party, then he turns around and looks really good. So I am just retired from takes on Case Keenum and Blake Bortles, although I will always lead the respect Case Keenum bandwagon.
Yeah, I retired from the Kirk Cousins and Mitch Trubisky takes. I don't make those takes anymore. I just let them play football.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Kirk Cousins either. I guess let's talk about that game next, because it's your team, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Vikings. I watched this game in the box score level, not the actual game, but here is my unknowing take. This game was pretty boring for about three quarters, and then the Seahawks kind of ran away.
Yeah, which is kind of like what my football fandom was like from like 2013 to like 2016, maybe. It was kind of a throwback. I know it was on Monday and not on Thursday, but it was really cool to kind of get back to that spot where, you know, they're playing a team that they probably should lose to, but the defense is just not going to let it happen, and Russell Wilson's going to do just enough to make sure that they're going to win the game. So it was really fun. My biggest takeaway from this game was that Chris Carson had 22 carries for 90 yards, and like that's the kind of workload I think he needs to get in the future. Doug Baldwin being missing from this game was probably pretty huge for the Seahawks. They couldn't really get anything going downfield. Their rookie Moore had two touchdowns that could have been, but he couldn't get his feet in bounds for either one of them. And at the end of the game, Linval Joseph was trying to chase Russell Wilson down, and he just gave up after about 15 yards, and Russell Wilson had a, I don't know, it was about a 40-yard pickup on the ground, and that really sealed the game, that run alone. And it was kind of, it was very poetic seeing Linval Joseph just give up on chasing Russell Wilson at that point in the game.
I wouldn't call that poetic, but yeah, I can see the point. I'd like to personally, now that you're on the show, I think I did this a few weeks back, but I'd like to apologize for every time I've bashed you for talking about Chris Carson, because suddenly, about 5 weeks ago, everything that you have said for like the past 3 years came to fruition, and now I really enjoy watching Chris Carson. So from me to you, from the bottom of my heart, I'm very sorry for bashing you about
Chris Carson. Yeah, I got a lot of this about Russell Wilson maybe 4 years ago, where people came to me and it's like, look, it's like, I'm just trying to help you out, Eric. So next time you want to listen to me, I'm just trying to help you out. I'm trying to help out the listeners. I'm just trying to, you know, tell them what I see on tape and try to explain that to everybody. And, you know, if you want to listen, you know, it's only going to make your life easier.
Who's the next Chris Carson? Whose genre's got his fancy
honestly,
on the Seahawks?
Not the Seahawks, but honestly, this year, I remember I reached out to you about Philip Lindsay, and I'm really upset that I didn't bang the drum harder for him.
Ooh.
Because, and I think it was because he wore like the number 6 in preseason or something, and it just didn't look right. But man, I remember thinking, man, this kid's going to explode, and I really wish I would have made a bigger stink about it. That's probably my biggest regret this year.
Well, yeah, I don't think anyone saw the Philip Lindsay thing coming, to be fair to you. And as soon as it happened, it was kind of insane to me, like, how fast it took off. Like, after week one, like, a ton of people were just like, oh, yeah, this guy's the truth. And I honestly, even as a Broncos fan, I didn't really buy it till about week 10. But, yeah, he's something special, that's for sure. I hate the takes, though. And let's talk about the Giants and the Redskins really quick, though. I hate the takes, though, that he's somehow better than Saquon Barkley, because that's just
I've been reading some of that.
Unless you believe differently. I don't know. Like, Barkley is just so much better than Lindsay. Like, he's a better pass catcher. He's a better pure runner. He's better at finding the holes. Lindsay's better at finding the holes. Lindsay's a better
Look,
power
it's
runner,
definitely fair to
honestly,
say that Philip Lindsay was a far superior value based on not being drafted. But if we're like talking about rookie of the year, it's obviously Saquon Barkley, because like you can't take in like draft position into that. That's not how those awards work.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm just kind of sick of people being like, oh yeah, well, why isn't Philip Lindsay in like the conversation? It's like, well, because like Saquon Barkley every week makes the Giants watchable.
Can we talk about something else really fast? I don't want you to apologize about Chris Carson, but you did tell me the Seahawks weren't making the playoffs this year. So they have a 99% chance of making it now, and they just have to beat the 49ers or the Cardinals to get in. So if you want to get ahead of that, you can, or if you want to
I will apologize. You are infinitely right on all Seahawks takes, and I should pay more
people
attention
think
to your
like,
Seahawks takes, because they're normally correct.
I said they would win 9 to 10 games this year, and that's
I
what
don't know,
do.
But it was it really unfair to look at this roster at the beginning of the year and be like,
I explained multiple times at the beginning of the year talking about how good Chris Carson is, how good that secondary is about taking the ball away, how Bobby Wagner is the best middle linebacker in the league, and how people don't know how good Frank Clark is, and nobody listened to me. So, I don't know.
I don't know either, man. Life's just hard that way sometimes. Oh, but one thing I do want to give the Seahawks credit for before we move on to Giants-Redskins is I don't know. Everyone likes to really, really dump on the Seahawks when their offensive line is bad, but no one seems to give them credit when their offensive line is good. And their offensive line for about like the past like 13 weeks has been pretty damn good. So shout out to the Seahawks offensive line.
Yeah,
that is
also
not
they
terrible.
Run.
And honestly,
run,
I think that's the reason
they run
they're
six
so
offensive
successful.
Linemen like a third of the time now. So George Fant is in at tight end like a third of the plays, and he even caught a ball on Monday night. But yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, they went from the complete polar opposites where they used to have Jimmy Graham in there who couldn't pass block at all or run block, and now they just have a sixth offensive lineman. And they're kind of, once again, you know, this is kind of the same narrative of 2013. They're zigging when everybody else is zagging. They're kind of like this power run team that has a great quarterback in a league full of, you know, the Rams and the Chiefs.
To be fair, I would still take the Chiefs and the Rams. So
I would take their offenses, yeah, but I wouldn't take the I don't know if I would take the whole unit. I mean, the Rams are interesting, but they've suffered some injuries now, and Jared Goff clearly can't play when it's colder than 30 degrees outside.
Yeah. I don't really have anything else to say on the Giants other than apologies to Eli Manning. I've been pretty down on him for like the past, I think, every episode of this podcast. And look, he's performing semi-decently at this point without Odell Beckham Jr. So shout out to Eli Manning having some good times out there for the Giants. The Colts, rebound. And that's what I needed because I kind of got sucked into the Colts based off the hype of other people and then watching them and being like, huh, this team's pretty good. And then they kind of let me down.
This is the same take I gave on my Sunday show or my Monday show with Ryan McGinley, is that I've always been annoyed with Andrew Luck takers because they've always talked about his potential and not what he currently is. And now he's reached this potential that everybody's talking about, or that everybody talked about, but everybody's kind of over Andrew Luck and they've moved on to Mahomes or, you know, whomever else. But now Andrew Luck is being the guy who we've always were promised he would be, and it seems like nobody appreciates it now. It's really frustrating to me.
Yeah, I would say so as well. He's a top five NFL quarterback, and it seems like that's kind of flying under the radar. And he had another great game against the Texans, who have been very good on defense the last few weeks, put up almost 400 yards, two touchdowns, and the running game for the Colts still can't find itself. There was a – you remember about like 3 weeks back when Marlon Mack was actually looking really good? Like, what happened? Why is that running game that was good for like – three straight weeks suddenly
Do you think
like,
it's Frank Wright's play calling? Do you think they're not giving Marlon Mack enough opportunities to run between the tackle? Because him and Hines really, I feel like they don't get enough touches in a game to establish anything. Because, I mean, to bring up the Seahawks again, I mean, it's super frustrating as a fan to watch the first drive go for, you know, three carries and not a first down. But sometimes, you know, Chris Carson just needs to carry the ball 10 times before he starts making, or, you know, before the defense starts getting tired of getting hit by this guy running into him. So I'm not saying Marlon Mack is that type of guy. But if Marlon Mack isn't working, which I have big love for Marlon Mack, I think he's a great player, but maybe we need to get Hines out there and try to establish something. Andrew Luck is throwing like for like 350 yards a game. So if it's working, it's working. They're plus 49 the point differential, so you know, it's working.
Yeah, but isn't the thing about Nyheim Hines is he's a much better pass catching back than he is at running between the tackles. He is not very good at running between the tackles.
Frank Gore left in free agency, and he was kind of their in between tackle guy. And now, you know, I don't know what you were supposed to do at this point.
Yeah, Colts are in a bit of a pickle with their running game, but hey, the defense looks good, and I don't know where the Colts defense came from because I still don't know like half the players on
Darius
the defense.
Darius Leonard,
but
fifth overall in Pro Football Focus.
They are really good. Like,
he's killing it, man.
Yeah, that's literally the only Colts player. Oh, and Malik Hooker, the only two Colts defensive players I know. I should probably brush up on that, shouldn't I, Jonders? Probably a good idea to know more than two of the Colts defensive players. Yeah, maybe. The Texans, they'll bounce back. It's pretty impressive that they went on a 9-game. I don't think people harped on that enough, that they went 9 straight after 0-3, which is very impressive. And I'm still very afraid of the Texans in the AFC. I think they're kind of being slept on, but that's just me. Patriots, Dolphins. All right, here's my take on the Patriots, because I was trying to write something yesterday, and I was kind of writing about teams we don't know a ton about, and I included the Patriots in there, and I think the reason the Patriots just feel different this year is not because they're bad. They aren't bad, outwardly bad at anything. They're just not immortal, if that makes sense. Like, past years, it just feels like, oh yeah, this team has nothing wrong with it. And this year it feels like they're
I think they can
tiny
legit
chinks
beat
in
every
the armor.
Team in the AFC playoff and field, and I think they can lose to over half of them. You know, it's kind of it's a defensive problem, because I think Tom Brady, much has been talked about how he's you know, as good as he was last year, the year before, I think he's playing fine. I think he had a great game against Miami, all you know, not talking about the end of the half. But I think people also made a big deal about Russell Wilson in the end of half of Monday Night Football, and I think if you play football long enough, you're going to make some of these boneheaded mistakes, and it's better to have it in Week 14 than it is to have it in the divisional round. So that's stuff that both those players will clean up. I think Josh Gordon is still getting to know the offense better, and we talked about the Colts running back situation, but man, Sony Michel, James White, and you have why can't I think of the other guy's name? Yeah, Burkhead. I mean, those three guys come out of the backfield, and then you throw in Patterson sometimes when you want a bigger guy. And I don't know. I think their offense is still the Patriots' offense, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I honestly don't think defense has been a huge problem. Like, this week, obviously, it was, but I thought they played some of their best defense coming into this week. And I don't know. Brady had what will get lost in the Miami Miracle.
Yeah,
this was
I'd agree
Tom
with that.
Brady's best game.
You look, to your point, I think both units, the offense and the defense for the Patriots, and played well enough on Sunday to win. It's just Rob Gronkowski was playing safety. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've long been told by Chris of this podcast fame that I don't give enough credit to the Dolphins. Should I be giving more credit to the Dolphins? Because I still think this is just a
around week
team
four.
That
I was really getting
in
sucked into the Miami Dolphins hype factory, but I can't think of his name. Burt Wilson was down, and Jakeem Grant went down. Once those two guys went down, I mentally checked out. Also, Kiko Alonso, his year at the beginning of the year, like maybe the first 3 weeks, he was playing his best football he's ever played, and like he's mentally checked out since then. I don't know what's happened, but he's been really getting picked on lately. So those three players are kind of the reason why I checked out. Also, Brock Osweiler was playing for a while. And also, people who said that Brock Osweiler was as good as Tannehill, please sit down. I'm done. Please stop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. You know, an NFL season would not be complete without the hell of seeing Brock Osweiler play on my television. So at least we got a little bit of Brock Osweiler this year. All right. Finishing up two games of a week. The Chiefs for Ravens. Okay, well, that Patrick Mahomes, like, no-look pass. I feel like everyone's talking about this, but I guess
we
got to give it.
He looks
it
like a Harlem Globetrotter
credence.
Out there.
That was
I don't understand
sick,
how
huh?
he's doing this stuff. You know, he's completely revolutionizing the way the quarterback position is being played. And, you know, I just talked about George Kittle being the best. I'm ready. It's over. Patrick Mahomes is the most talented quarterback in the NFL. I'm not saying he's the best. He's the most raw talent. And I don't see I'll talk about Gronk or Kelsey, but I'm done. You know, Patrick Mahomes has the most talent, and I think it's obvious.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that, because I would have argued for Aaron Rodgers, but Mahomes has a better arm than Rodgers.
Patrick Mahomes does
rare.
All the
like,
things
the guy
that Aaron Rodgers was special for better.
Yards.
Throwing on the run, throwing off platform, having a strong arm, not throwing he threw the one bad interception, but really he's pretty safe with the ball. He can run with the ball. He does everything that we thought Aaron Rodgers was special for better.
Yeah, I think it's hard to argue with that. I kind of want to call him the best quarterback in the NFL, but
Drew Brees
then
is
I always
right
feel
now.
Bad because I look at like Drew Brees and I'm like, oh man, how did I forget about this guy? But yeah, Mahomes is certainly like what he's done for this being his first year is insane. But I also kind of worry about it because I don't know. You think back to like last year, it was Carson Wentz, and it's like, what if
I
next
think,
year's not?
Carson Wentz is still recovering from his injury, which is a serious injury, which is why I'm kind of at awe at what Deshaun Watson's doing after his torn ACL. To come back and play this well is pretty amazing. Also, there's a lot of mental hurdles for Carson Wentz to go over, and I'm not a doctor, but I don't know how somebody could watch Nick Foles replace them and win the Super Bowl and not be unaffected by that. There's no way that you want to be affected by that. So now it's, how do you get over that? How do you prove your worth to the team? And the roster around him isn't as good as it was last year. They needed an outside threat, according to my friend Ryan McGinley, and they traded for Golden Tate, who primarily pretty much only plays in the slot. The running back situation is worse than it was last year. Their offensive line, Jason Peters, is a shell of himself. So there's a lot of problems. Also, they're put in bad positions because they're how many secondary players they've had go in and out of the lineup. So teams are passing on them, racking up points, and then Carson Wentz has to play catch up. So it's there's a lot of factors there.
Yeah, and hey, that kind of covers Eagles Cowboys too. Cowboys looked.
If he catches two more touchdowns this year, he'll have more touchdowns this season for the Cowboys than he's ever had in a single year for the Raiders. He probably should have had another one, Rasheed Douglas made a great play on a ball picking off Dak Prescott. He could have had another 60 yards and a touchdown that game. Amari Cooper, I don't know what if this is a parent trap situation where his identical twin is now playing for him or something in Oakland, I don't know, but he is balling out, and if you have him on your fantasy team, he might win you your championship. He's amazing, and I think the Cowboys have their new triplets.
Yeah, I mean, I would
to my understanding, I wasn't watching football when the triplets were at the height of power. But to my understanding, Emmitt Smith was always the best triplet. Elliott's the best triplet. Irvin was the second best. Cooper's the second best. And kind of a distant third was Troy Aikman, and so is Dak.
Yeah, it's crazy. I actually heard that somewhere, and then I looked up. I heard something about Troy Aikman, and then I looked it up, and it's insane how
pile on Troy Aikman. Maybe the second worst Hall of Fame quarterback behind Bob Greasy or blah blah blah, but he was one of those games, so I think you have to give him the credit that he's due.
Absolutely. All right, finally, Rams, Bears. All right, everyone knows that the Bears' defense is awesome and that it's going to be a major force. I don't know. I'm worried
about
the Bears' offense. Are you?
At this point, I'm kind of fine with just Matt Nagy carrying the day with his play calling. I don't think Mitch Trubisky is the answer right now. Not that he couldn't develop into the answer, but I was listening to the Rich Eisen show last week, and one of my favorite actors, Jake Johnson, he's on the show New Girl, or was before it was canceled. He's going to be playing Peter Parker in the new Spider-Man movie, you know? And Nick Miller.
Who was he on New Girl? Because I got really
he's a Chicago Bears fan on the show,
Girl,
and he's a Chicago Bears fan in real life. And he was talking about how Jordan Howard was about to be taken out of the garage for the winter. And he was absolutely right. The Bears relied on Howard during that Rams game, and I think they're going to ride Howard throughout the playoffs. And so I think that's kind of where this offense is heading. It's going to be a run-first offense throughout the playoffs, and I don't think a lot of teams can go – I don't know what teams can go to Soldier Field and win. I think maybe the Cowboys on their best day and maybe the Seahawks on their best day. I know at some point the Bears aren't going to be able to play at home. They're going to have to go to L.A. or New Orleans. But the Bears at home in the playoffs, I would not want to go there.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a place that you don't want to play in January because of just how insanely cold it's going to be, one, and the style of football they play, which is absolutely insane. All right, overarching takeaway from this week, what would the one thing, if someone who was just like in a bunker for this entire week came to you and was like, Jonders, what happened
in
the NFL?
I'm going to sound like an extremely old man.
What's the one overarching takeaway?
Throwing the ball is fine in the autumn, but when old man winter comes around, it's time to run the ball. And I think you saw that through a lot of teams. And, running the ball is going to win you playoff games. So running the ball in defense, once again, yeah.
Absolutely. All righty, man. Well,
the pleasure was all mine.
Thank you for joining us. It's been a blast. And thank you very much, man. Where can people find like this new IO podcast? Because it was like, I'll be honest, I'm not a huge improv guy or like acting, or I'm not super into the theater, but, and I don't live in Chicago, but I listened to like the first episode of that IO podcast thing, and I was like,
just follow me on Twitter at JohnDersFPT, and as soon as it's approved by Apple, I'll be tweeting that out. And I know Eric will be giving it a 5-star review, and if you go to a 5-star review, I will read your review on the podcast. So if you want to say JohnDers is a dumb dork, you know, then I'll say that on the podcast.
All right, Alexanders, I would not say that. I'd be like, I'd be much more kind. Thanks, man, for joining us. It's always a fun time with you around. And follow us on Twitter at EnzoPod. Follow me on Twitter at Eric18Utah. I don't really harp those things a lot anymore, but it's always nice for a fresh follow. Tell your friends about the podcast. Always a good time. And we will see you on Friday. Thanks for listening, guys. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EnzoPod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.